What's going on, dumpster buddies? You've tuned directly into the voicemail dump truck for this Thursday, May 9th, 2024. We are joined today by a tremendous crew larger than life itself. Please help me welcome some of our favorite AEW boys and the hosts of All Elite Arcade, Adam Cole, a.k.a. the Chugs, and Evil Uno. What's going on, boys?
Yes, very excited to be here. The both of us. Both of us.
Very excited. I literally just walked into my home to do this. So I'm ready. I feel ready. I'm also very sweaty, just so everyone is aware.
Backlar is outnumbered. We got 75% wrestling people.
Sweaty
we got,
boys?
Wrestling. We got Jam producing. He's a wrestling guy. That makes it
80%.
Yeah. Good math.
Uno can vouch for me. Thank you, Uno, for vouching for me.
Wait, he hasn't done it yet, and Uno beat truthful.
I thought I heard it already.
No. Okay, look, we did have ECW discussions. He has some wrestling knowledge. I cannot lie. You know, I'm a good boy.
He owned an NWO shirt in like 1998 and saw like RBD versus Jerry Lynn once or twice, and he thinks he's a wrestling guy. Also, he thinks he did backyard wrestling. Backlar, have you taken a single bump in your life?
Yeah. Like no, many bumps.
Wait, hang on. Do you know what a bump is? Describe a bump, please.
A bump is like getting fake hit.
Okay, I think I rest my case.
I went to the pay-per-view. I'll have you know.
I took you to full gear because Uno was gracious.
I'm not talking about AEW. I'm talking about the pay-per-view where
Hardcore Heaven.
No, where Bam Bam and Taz fell through the ring.
Right, oh, you were good. At that. That's yeah. a cool
you
one.
Were
that's
at a cool that one show? To go
to. I was at that show in Asbury Park, New Jersey, baby.
You might be a bigger wrestling fan than me.
Yeah. Oh, my. The tables have turned, haven't they?
No. Backlar, how about this? I own a WWF New York leather jacket. How about that?
Where'd you get that, dummy?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. You gave it to me.
Yeah, I gave it to you. Because it was mine.
I probably gave you a bunch of money for it or something, right?
No, you actually gave me nothing. I had to pay to send it to you, now that I recall.
No, you brought it into the office. We worked together in New York.
We've never worked in an office together, you liar.
I kind of used to work with Adam Cole here for a second over Zoom during a pandemic. Yeah.
Right.
We recorded the podcast that never saw the light of day.
I know. What a shame, too. I was so excited for that.
Was that the Taker one?
No, it wasn't the Taker one. This was the Attitude Era one with it was Cole, Gargano, Dakota, and Stokely.
Oh yeah, known Attitude Era guys.
But big fans.
That's the thing. They were fans, and it was enthusiastic conversation. And so I put that cast together, and I was like, "This is going to be fun. It's going to be enthusiastic." Mm-hmm. I piloted it. I showed it to my bosses at the other organization, and they were like, "Well, yeah, but what have we got?" What if not these NXT guys? What if we got Jerry Lawler to host it? I was like, not what I wanted. No, these guys are cool and young and enthusiastic. Let's have them. You guys don't know what a podcast is, but anyway, no sour grapes here.
So, Adam, why'd you stay in touch with him?
What do you mean?
Like, why you still know Dan? What's that about?
Because Dan's a great guy.
Oh, right. Though it's the storyline.
Dan's a great guy. I mean this in my core. Yeah, I love Dan. We had a great time doing the podcast that, as he said, never saw the light of day. But we enjoyed each other's company, our passion, our conversation. So of course we're still buddies. We'll never not be buddies, as far as I'm concerned.
The bar at the hotel, the WrestleCon hotel in LA a couple years ago. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
We're buds.
Yeah, we're buddies. We're buddies.
What's
your
problem, Backlar? What are you trying to drive a wedge? What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm not a wedge driver.
He's trying to create a little beef.
I think so.
And let me tell you what, there's no beef here. No beef here, at least on my end. So that's for sure.
Oh, well, I'll just take a bump and make and just
you don't
make
even
it
know what
better.
That is.
No, wait, what? So tell me what a bump is. A bump like what is a bump? Is a bump just getting like hit on the mat, like falling on the mat? Like what is
I'll
it?
I'll let the wrestlers explain.
It's just going on the trampoline thing.
What?
No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, you're digging a hole, Mr. Backlar.
No, it's okay.
That's what I said about you, Jeff.
Yeah, Adam. No, you can't walk that back.
Guys?
You can't walk that back. Come on.
Sorry,
don't walk that back.
I'm pro Dan now.
You seemed much more charitable, Adam. Please, Ray, you were much more charitable about the situation.
Yes. So you were definitely on the right path. Okay. When it came to describing your second version of what a bump was, right, as in falling, the part that you were completely wrong on was the trampoline part.
Okay.
Because wrestling rings are literally metal, wood, like maybe this much padding. Like, right, it literally knocks the wind out of you the first time you do it. Oh. You got to be a wild man to want to be a wrestler. Man, I love it much, but it is
running
incredibly
the ropes,
demanding.
Even running the ropes is an incredibly painful ordeal.
Uno, yeah. Can I say this? When I came back from my two concussions and then started running the ropes again to like get cleared to get back into the ring, the first day I hit the ropes after not doing it for 9 months, it looked like I was beaten. Like the bruising and the scarring on my back just from readjusting to hitting the ropes. It's a demanding job physically, for sure.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. I just know I could do it better than Dan.
I've taken bumps. I've managed their coworker Orange Cassidy. I've worked several indie shows under. I'm on Cage Match as a manager.
I
can make up words
week.
Too, but I don't know how all that tracked. No, that's when I meant trampoline, I meant that's my only backyard stuff was trampoline.
Oh, was yours in on a trampoline?
Yeah, and
yeah, that's not backyard wrestling, pal. I'm sorry, dude.
Is that trampoline wrestling?
You gotta hit that ground. Yeah, that's trampoline wrestling.
I mean,
that's
I feel different. Like that's I'm involved in sport. Play. You know, I'm a sportsman.
Uno, I do have a little bit of an argument with that because I ran a backyard wrestling federation
on a trampoline,
and it started on a trampoline.
It started on
a trampoline, then eventually it turned into us building like PVC pipes like around the trampoline with making
Punjabi prison.
Yeah, right. DIY. You know,
turned into us building a ring. As well, but I was a big backyard wrestler, actually. Because I don't know if I've ever really talked about that.
Oh, thank you for that endorsement, Adam.
What was everyone's backyard wrestling name at the time? Because mine was not original at all. I was 11 years old. So.
Was yours like the Prophet or something?
No, mine was just Nightmare. One name, one word, one word. Strike fear in your opponents, man. No mask. Nice. No,
hey,
even
Uno,
more terrifying.
Uno, going off Nightmare, one of my characters, because our backyard promotion was literally three people, and we would all just play different characters. The guy who was champ, I was Diablo. Dude.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Diablo and Nightmare is a team, dude?
Yeah. Hey,
I don't think I've ever...
It's time.
I'm getting a little flustered. I don't know if I've ever disclosed my backyard wrestling name.
Oh, I'm ready. This is what we're here for.
Please.
Oh, this is a big moment. Dan, have I ever told it to you?
I don't think so.
This is gonna be bad, but you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna say it. Because it was a lifetime ago.
Yes.
The Dark Echo.
Hell yeah.
Hey, I love it, man.
That rules.
That rules.
Dark Echo probably had like a cool hand symbol.
Oh, you know? Dude, it was all like Satan and shit. You know what? I'm not sure it'd be any different today, is what I'll say.
You guys don't have to humor him. That's terrible.
Hell yeah. That's fucking hardcore, Dan. Something you don't know shit about.
He was the third brother of destruction.
I don't know what that means, but Dark Echo. Dark Echo is cool as shit. We already have merch.
Yeah, Dark Echo.
Already merch.
Badass, man.
It's on the site already.
It's on the site.
To pop in. Was this at all inspired by Mark Echo?
No, it wasn't. There was Echo without a K.
He was a big dolphin fan. So.
Yeah, the traditional spelling of Echo, but thank you, Jan. Yeah. Whatever. It was cool, Dan. What's your backyard wrestling name?
Yeah, yeah.
The Cardigan.
I just went by Dan Riker, Dirty Dan. Backyard. I didn't take any bumps in backyard stuff. I didn't. We bought some stuff at Home Depot. We tried to set it up. We got confused, and nothing ever happened.
So it was just an attempt and nothing else.
Yes, guys, I'm not kidding. The last year of us doing a backyard wrestling promotion, which is when I was like a sophomore in high school, And when I say promotion, obviously I'm using that word very loosely, very loosely. But we literally on purpose would run our pay-per-views, which is hilarious to even say that, on half days at school, because so many kids had to wait for their parents to pick them up 2 hours later. So everyone would come over to my buddy's house and we would do a show. At one point there were like 50 kids there. Watching us. We sold DVDs and t-shirts.
You're an independent promotion. You didn't run it,
but for free though. You know
where was this in America? Like vaguely speaking.
No, I'll get specific with you. It was in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. So Amish country, USA, man.
So we're not that far apart geographically in those years, right? We're talking like late 90s, right? Like, is that what we're talking? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was
late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
Dan, you really wouldn't know anything about it, but like it was a big deal, man.
No, I was busy trying to sneak backstage to WWF shows at Kemper Arena, pretending to be Shawn Michaels' cousin. So I would talk to the security guards. I'd be like, no, go talk to Shawn. I mean, you wouldn't know his real name's Hickenbottom. So my name's Chris Hickenbottom. So let me in there. And I printed out fake press passes to wrestling websites and laminated them. Be like, I'm with the press, looking like a fucking 14-year-old because I was 14. And they're like, you need an arena pass made by the arena. The sites don't make their own press passes.
Wow, that's awesome.
I tried to get backstage so many times.
Dan, I love the dedication, though, because it's funny that you bring that up. I remember going to one show in Philadelphia at the first Union Center, it was at the time, and I got there at noon. My mom, God bless her, she's the absolute best. She drove me so early, and I would sit there and watch all the wrestlers show up. So I have told this story before to Shawn Michaels specifically, because he was one of three people who signed it, but we're like two stories above where the wrestlers are pulling in. I had an old cassette tape and unwrapped all of it and then tied a packet of paper with a Sharpie on it and fished it down
two stories
for the wrestlers to sign it. And I would just sit there. I had to be like 11 or 12 maybe. And I would sit there and just watch the wrestlers show up. And Shawn walked by and he signed it. And he claims he remembers it. So
really, that specific like contraption?
Yeah, he said, he goes, "I I'd never seen someone do something like that." And you were
a whole decade of his life. Me. That
wow, fishing for wrestlers.
Fishing for autographs, baby.
I used to do the same thing. Get at the parking lot hours early. I didn't have anything to sign one time, but they were doing like a corn nuts promotion. It was corn gone wrong was the promotion, and so I had a bunch of these corn nuts packages and a Sharpie. And Trish Stratus signed my corn nuts and gave me a hug, and I remember she smelled very good. And Steve Blackman signed my corn nuts and he seemed grumpy.
Do you still have these corn nuts?
I don't have these corn nuts.
What a sentence that was. Signed my corn nuts.
We need those corn nuts, dude. I know.
Don't know how I lost them.
Yeah, that's surprising knowing you. You lost those. Folks, in case you couldn't tell, this happens to be a call-in show. We'll get to that.
I love this so much already. Sorry.
Which, by the way, we had Jeff Jarrett on the show, and he was promoting that WrestleQuest game, and I tried to give him the heads up. I went through the PR people, be like, hey, let him know it's going to be very off-topic. It's not really about games or wrestling. Just let Jeff know. We got like halfway through the episode, and Jeff Jarrett was like, so this is a video game show? What's going on here?
This is the best show of all time, dude. This is the best show of all time. I love it.
Our phone number, if you'd like to participate next time, 707-EXIT-FLU, but we're going to get to the calls we've got in the hopper. Let's start with the one and only, picking our very first email. Let's go with you, Adam Cole. Let's have it, Chugs. Let's see.
Pressure is on. Okay. God, the first... there's so many good choices here. My choice is so positive.
Whoa.
That's my choice.
That's part of your brand.
You guys have my boy Adam Cole on the show this week. And I gotta say, I love watching your streams. They are an endless feed of positivity. So my question is, you know, world's maybe not the greatest place right now. How do you stay so positive in it all? Thanks.
Oh my God, what a great question. Wow. I mean, for me, generally speaking, like as far as where life can go or where it's been or where you're hoping that it can go, I think a big part of being happy, and feeling loved is just having like such a general appreciation of the life around you. I've had an incredible support system. Like my mother and my brother are two of my favorite people in the entire world who have always had my back. And it feels good when you have a positive experience with someone. So I think it's really, really important to surround yourself with positive people and positivity. I know that might sound corny to a lot of people, but I really seriously mean it. It makes such a difference. I guess we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be thankful for. Of course, life is always a work in progress, but instead of fighting against ourselves by being negative and pessimistic and kind of holding ourselves down, I really do think it's important to focus on the positives, focus on the things that you want to achieve, the things you want to improve on, and having a mindset like that is so incredibly important. So I really appreciate that voicemail, actually. That's really, really cool to hear.
Adam, where have you been all my life?
You should start watching wrestling.
I just want to like hang out. Like I just want to hang out now.
Man, what's funny enough is, Adam Cole on screen is maybe not the nicest guy lots of times, but generally speaking, man, I do think, like, to me, that mindset and that mentality is bigger than pro wrestling. It's bigger than anything else in the entire world, because you see, I don't know, this is going to sound so silly, and I'm probably going to get made fun of for this, but it's crazy how many times even something like this happens, where if I go into like a gas station and you hold the door for someone, the look on their face sometimes, where it's like, oh my God, someone was being nice to me. And then you can only imagine the stuff that they deal with or the stuff that they're going through. So being like as understanding of each other as possible, as kind as possible. I'm not saying to look at it blindly and sure, be like, no one can do anything wrong. Everyone's perfect. Of course, we want to build each other up. But there's a difference between tearing people down to tear them down and giving them advice to try to help them. And that's kind of what I like to surround myself with. That's what makes me happy. And again, streaming on Twitch, the Chugs Army, it's like the best community in the entire world. And we all build each other up and support each other and stuff like that. So yeah, that's really important to me. So it's really cool to hear someone felt influenced by that in any way. So hang in there. Awesome. Whoever called in and said that, I got your back and you got this.
That was beautiful. Shit. I hope you were listening, Dan. That was like really dope.
Me?
Yeah, there's the only one Dan on this program.
I'm very positive and happy. What are you talking about? That's my whole deal.
I say what I said. We're going to move.
You're the grumpy one. Wait, you're the grumpy guy. That's your gimmick. What the hell? I'm always having a good time. Look in the mirror, sir.
We don't allow those in my home. Evil Udo, would you like a stab at the next voicemail, please?
Oh, yeah. And I've this one grabbed my attention right away, but I need to know about boxed mac and cheese.
Ooh, good one.
All right, so here's a hypothetical for you. You're making boxed mac and cheese, but you don't want it to be just plain and boring. What do you add to it to give it a little extra, you know, something? Personal answer, air fry up some chicken nuggets, chop them up, and depending on how you're feeling, top it off with either some hot sauce or some honey. Love you.
Yep. Yeah, ooh, yeah. Hot sauce is what I was going to say. I want to start, though. I was confused by it. You're making boxed mac and cheese, and legit, my question is, what is the alternative?
You can make mac and cheese
that comes in bags? Like, where are they?
Well, Dan, you could make your own sauce.
Pasta
just comes in like bags normally, right?
Or you can make pasta too.
Yeah, you can make it from its original ingredients. Yeah.
Like a person that doesn't work in a restaurant and isn't a chef, I could like go buy ingredients at the store and make pasta.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's made from?
Hold on. What do you think?
Bread.
So you think the first? I mean,
like you're not too far.
We do this dance, you guys. We do this dance with Dan all the time, where Dan will just say the simplest thing, and it's not wrong technically, but it's not right either. Okay.
See, this is a side of me that I feel like, Uno, you've seen some of. Adam, I feel like almost all the conversations I've had with you have been about video games and wrestling, which are two things I know a lot about. I don't know if you've seen this side, but this show tends to bring those out. I don't know a lot about cooking and some other things about life. But I would say, yeast. Is yeast involved?
Pasta? I don't think so, no.
Hops?
I think it's basically like dough. It's basically like a right?
Yeah, it's a meat derivative.
Eggs are in there.
Okay. For sure. Have you ever made pasta?
Not from scratch, no.
Okay.
Not me. No. I can barely make boxed mac and cheese if I'm honest. Barely. I'm being honest.
I don't know how to do that. I used to in college, but I haven't made macaroni and cheese since college.
Same, I just thought it was funny. Your first answer was like, bread is in pasta. I just thought it was like a good.
It seems in the family.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
Uno, what is your thing, though? Because funny enough, what this gentleman has mentioned is hot sauce is my go-to.
Hot sauce is
such a good choice.
I throw that stuff on literally anything, but for mac and cheese, it's definitely in there. When I was a kid, our go-to, I mean, we weren't very rich, and so mac and cheese was a pretty regular supper or dinner. Sorry, I'm from Canada. Hot dog slices was the big thing.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Little smokies.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Little smokies.
Package of 12. Yeah, boil those bad boys, and you just cut them up and put them in there.
That's nice. Yep. Just don't ever apologize for being from Canada. Like, please,
no,
please
never. I apologize for a lot of things. Unfortunately, you said, that's kind of
sorry. I'm from Canada. I was like, no, please don't. That's,
it's a Canadian.
It's one of my favorite things about you.
Oh, thanks. Hey, cool.
I feel like you could get away if we're talking like hot dog adjacent stuff. You could probably get away with like bacon bits. I think for me, like, I don't want my mac and cheese like overloaded with the cheese. I want it a little light on it. You know,
so, that's where we differ.
Yeah, so that was actually what I thought this question was going to be about. Like when we made mac and cheese when I was in college and stuff, I would only use like a third of the cheese powder. But my mom, when she would make it for me, would do double the bag. She like for each two boxes, we would only make one box with two things of cheese. And then I think as an adult, I realized like that might be a little too much cheese.
Uno, I did that once in college with three packets of cheese to one box of noodles. And then I went to a bar and threw up like Nickelodeon orange all over the bar bathroom.
That sounds like a Dan Riker story. Yeah,
it is.
Hooray.
Wait, but for one packet of mac and cheese and not using the entire cheese packet, that's insane. Is also wild. That's
just wet noodles at that point.
Give me all the cheese, but not too much cheese. You know, I don't know if I'd double up though. So
yeah, can't be eating blocks of cheese or anything like that. You know, we wouldn't want that to happen, right?
That's right.
Can confirm. All right. Well, I'm hungry now, so let's go to Dan Reichert for the next voicemail.
Yes.
Oh boy, let me just pick randomly here. Let's go with another win for Dan.
Okay.
Bacalar's wrong on the Raptors thing. They're not Velociraptors in the Jurassic Park movies. They're Utah Raptors, but Velociraptor sounds cooler, so that's what they use. But the Raptors in Jurassic Park are technically real Raptors, just the wrong name.
Oh.
It's another win for Dan, I'm sorry.
Oh. Oh, Bacalar, do you want to
fucking ask this guy?
Do you want to give these gentlemen some context as to how I'm right and what we were talking about?
I would love to hear some context.
Nobody cares about paleontologist nerds, okay?
And
the accuracy of Jurassic Park. What are we doing?
You were arguing what? That the raptors in Jurassic Park weren't like shoot raptors?
He's making a point that is very dumb, okay? And I will tell you why. The caller. Okay. No, we all know the points you make and what they are.
Okay.
I'm talking about the caller. In the film, they are referred to over and over as velociraptors. So what are we talking about?
Are Utah Raptors not Velociraptors?
He said Utah Raptors?
I think that's what he said. That the ones like in Jurassic Park are Utah Raptors. Like that might be the official designation.
I don't know. I don't know. But either way, I don't know if there was any Raptors that big.
My takeaway is that I was right and you were wrong. So anyway.
See, this is what we're dealing with, Uno and Adam. This is what This is what I go through on a weekly basis. What's the opposite of therapy? Because that's what this is.
I'm anti-therapy.
He's the worst scientist and the worst therapist ever. And we have to share a microphone 4 hours a week.
Wait, one singular microphone?
No, you're right. Share a podcast. You got me.
All right.
That's what I... Oh, that doesn't feel good. Does that feel good to you, Dan?
I feel good most of the time.
Oh, okay.
You're so positive, baby.
I know. Yeah, no, team positive here.
I need PMA. Yeah. I need PMA from Adam. Positive mental attitude. That was me in like high school, and I gotta get back there.
We got it. We all beat each other up too much. You know,
yeah. We take too many bumps.
We take too many bumps.
Sure.
We take too many bumps in life. You know,
Jeff, you can't say that on a podcast.
Life is.
Oh, I genuinely agree. I've taken too many bumps.
Exactly. You get it. I've taken too many slap shots to the knees.
Okay,
right?
You can say that. You can say that. Yes.
You know. Life's paved with slap shots and bumps. You just gotta navigate.
To claim bumps.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I'm claiming bumps. You're talking to fucking Dark Echo here, baby. Okay, don't forget that. You Dark should hear my theme Echo. Music.
Oh, yes, he's got a whole hand thing. Oh, I hate this.
I feel like that was your thing. I feel like Dark Echo did this.
I didn't do hand stuff, but
you should have.
I should have.
Yeah,
I hate
this. You're right. I just made this face, dude.
I hate this guy. Dark Echo sucks.
Dude, Dark Echo?
Hell yeah. Oh, Dark Echo does not suck, dude.
You know, Dark Echo is coming at you, man.
That's a dude. Don't
stop making that face.
Don't yuck my yum, man. That was my gimmick. Okay.
Oh, God.
Dirty Dan, your thing's dirty. That's it.
Oh God.
Come on. It's Christ. My turn. It's my turn. My voicemail.
My favorite podcast of all time.
Thank you. Mine too. Let's do.
You're up, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna go eat a pizza.
I like it.
Hey, dumpers. I have this thing where, like, no matter how late it is, I eat my first meal of the day. I feel like it has to be a breakfast. Like, even if it's, like, a Saturday and I haven't eaten anything until, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, gotta have a breakfast. Fortunately, I live near, like, Bojangles, so they do biscuits and shit, so I can get that even up to, like, the late evening. But do you guys have to have breakfast first thing, or can you just, like, wake up at 8 a.m. and eat a pizza? Thanks.
Yep.
Oof. Go ahead.
I've never been a fan of the breakfast pizza. I feel like leftover pizza is never as good as just the hot out of the oven pizza to begin with. And so having it for breakfast feels like insulting breakfast and also insulting that pizza to begin with. I'm adamant about having breakfast first thing in the morning. I'm gonna have breakfast any meal of the day. I could have it every meal of the day if we're being honest. But pizza is like one of those no-nos for me for whatever reason. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I for sure though, like especially based on this question, there have definitely been times where I have gotten up at like noon after traveling and being away for a while. And it's like, I don't eat right away when I wake up. But if my first meal is at like 2 or 3 p.m., I will absolutely eat breakfast food.
I respect that. Yeah.
I love breakfast food, man.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite of most people on here and definitely the opposite of this caller in that I'm anti-breakfast food and I'm anti this idea that when you wake up the first meal, even if it's at 7 a.m., give me a bunch of burn-ins. Give me a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Give me a quarter pounder with fries. I'm mad every time I've ever gone to McDonald's and it's not 10:30 yet and I have to get I will begrudgingly get a hash brown and a sausage egg McMuffin, remove the egg, but I will always want nuggets or a quarter pounder. Same with Taco Bell. Breakfast food, overrated. Just give me the food that's good at dinner any time of day.
Can you eat Taco Bell for breakfast? Are you capable of doing that?
They have, well, okay, for me, usually, I usually get it on Friday nights, and I order intentionally too much. So I have a bunch that night, then I have, you know, quesadillas reheat really good in an air fryer, wake up the next day, maybe a little hungover, it's Friday night, oh my God, I got that quesadilla in the fridge, amazing. Sure. They do have breakfast food at Taco Bell. I was so excited, the day they started offering Taco Bell breakfast, I went there, and I was very disappointed. Adam might not know this, I got married at a Taco Bell, just to give you a sense of how much I enjoy Taco Bell.
That's so amazing.
But he certainly did. Look, I'm not just going to say everything they do that, you know, is rainbows here. Like, the breakfast stuff is not great. So, yeah, not a fan.
Oh, God, that's a real tough monologue to follow there. Man, that really puts you in your place. I am with the group, though. Having breakfast as the first meal, like, especially on those weekends where you find yourself at maybe a diner at 1 p.m. for the first meal of the day, I'm having eggs. I'm getting an omelet. I'm getting a pancake-adjacent, French toast-adjacent thing. I'm doing that. I'm doing the coffee. I'm doing what I need to do.
And bop, we're loving it, dude.
Yeah.
We are loving it.
It's a simple thing in life that makes me happy.
I will offer a concession. I am an anti-breakfast guy, but next time AEW is around the Twin Cities, I would show you guys Al's Breakfast. It's the smallest restaurant or place of business in Minneapolis. It's in the college area. It is the tiniest thing you've ever seen, and the breakfast food is so good that even I, a breakfast hater, will go there and absolutely love it. I will absolutely show you guys Al's Breakfast.
That was the best advertisement for that place. For someone who does not like breakfast.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
And for you, Dan, to be like, no, this is the place.
Yep, you got to check it out.
All kidding aside, Dan, you do have a bit of like a strange palate. We'll just say, I don't think that's unfair, right? But you love bacon, and bacon is like a cornerstone of breakfast in a lot of ways, especially diner breakfast kind of stuff.
Are you just an egg guy? You're just not an egg guy, I think.
I think you're right.
Not an egg guy.
Yeah.
So I'm not an egg guy, but also the Dan's palate thing might be a little explained. So behind the curtain here, today I legit got a CAT scan because I've been having sinus issues and stuff, and they found out that a bunch of my tubes and stuff are all like clogged up, and then tissue is built up, and so like the tubes that deal with smell and taste and my ears and everything are actually clogged up. And one of the things that chronic sinusitis can cause is lack of smell and taste stuff. So maybe I can only taste extremely like strong chemically, like, you know, fast food type stuff and not like a subtle breakfast flavor. That might be the thing going on.
No jokes aside, you're probably right, Dan.
I might be. Trying to get that picture.
Adam, you just can't throw those sound bites out like that. You gotta be.
Jan, can you rip that local for me so I can have that on my soundboard?
Wait,
here?
What did I say? I'm just saying.
I'll show you. Just to give you a sense of others I work with here.
I do think Dan is probably right.
Dan's right.
Is right.
You're right,
You're correct. Why am I the. How did I become the bad guy in that
one? No, you're not the bad guy.
It's a very reasonable.
It's just we all enter this world untarnished, and as soon as we say those words out loud, a line on a list gets drawn through our names, and we're tarnished from there on out. And
Jan, just give me Adam Dan Wright .wave, and you can send it to me. I'll get it on there.
It's just
I'm so confused.
He's gonna use that thing you just said about Dan being right. You said Dan's probably right.
Yeah.
So now,
okay. But no, it's
first
funnier,
I thought I like offended thousands.
No.
I was like.
It's more, no.
It's just Dan being the king.
Dan is right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that.
Dan is right, dude.
I got two reads.
Dan is right.
Can we get a clean read too?
Dan is right.
Uno, think about this. Think about that list I talked about with the line through your name. Think about it.
You know what? Dan is right.
Yes!
You know, sooner or later, I'm going to be the only one on this list without the line.
We'll catch you slipping. You're going to slip at some point here.
What if you just piecemeal it? He said all of those words separately at this
point. Oh, you're
come
right.
On. Or there's I can just deepfake it. There's no technology that exists. It's not like 20 years of my life of audio recordings are out there. It's not like that.
Oh, man, this took a turn. I'm thrilled.
Shit. Somehow I will impossibly pivot to the next voicemail. It was Chat's turn. I don't think breakfast is like a meal that has no taste. Just to go back,
but it's subtle. It's subtle, right? Like, here's the thing.
Is it subtle? What does that mean?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah.
Eggs are subtle, and so like eggs, all douse in hot sauce, and then I can feel something. But like just an egg is like, this is just weird, goopy nothing.
I can say it. Like a pancake or a crepe with nothing on it. Is pretty like a subtle taste for sure.
But it's not like like syrup. Yeah.
It's not like a slice of bread. It's more flavorful than that.
Are you a cereal man, Dan? Do you like cereal?
Yeah. I like very child cereals like Trix and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah, okay. And like, you
everyone
know
in the world.
Or Captain Crunch Peanut Butter Crunch, Oops All Berries. Like that stuff is great. Yeah.
Those
Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, all of it. Yeah.
Do you find yourself not being able to smell certain things or taste certain things?
And this isn't even a new thing. There was a bar called Buzzard Beach. I don't know if it's still around in Kansas City. We used to go to in college. And every time we walked in, everybody I was with would always be like, oh, my God, the smell of piss in this bar is so strong. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, I've never smelled it. I can smell, like, if my dog has a really bad fart, I can smell that. But I do think, my wife, Bianca, will light a candle. And she'll be like, ooh, that candle smells so good. I'm like, I don't smell anything.
I don't think you're piss like deaf. I don't think you're piss blind. You know what I mean? Like,
this is kind of like a come to Jesus moment with me a little bit, because Dan, I think we're the same person.
Yeah,
maybe I want to get out. You know, there's so many times, dude, where people are like, "Oh, they smell that? That smells so good," and I'm like, "No, I can't smell it." Yeah. If I get real close, I can smell it, but
yeah, like you shove your nose in the candle, but I don't smell its essence in a room, you know.
Dan, crap! We are. Yeah. So I'm on Team Dan on this one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No one's regretting those words. Okay.
Dan is right. Adam Cole is Team Dan.
Honestly, Adam, like we just met, but that hurts. Okay. Like that hurts.
Are you time stamping all these?
I'm gonna have to sit the rest of this podcast. The impossible pivot to Chat, because it was Chat's turn. We'll deal with that later. Chat chose insert the picture.
Bacalar, you need to call the gosh darn police. I'm driving home from work, and I look over to my left and see this. Producer Jan, please insert this picture here. This food truck has got gimmick infringement on blast. Now, that is your bomb. That is our bomb. You cannot take that from us. Dang, son. Give me a call back. I'll give you the phone number, the name, the address. We can send a hit squad to come take care of these guys. Anywho, okay. Favorite topping to put on ice cream. Love you, bye.
First off, was that Hank Hill?
Yeah. Also, the chat, I don't know, folks on the Discord call here. If you look at the chat, here's the picture somebody in the chat just posted. That is the giant bomb.
Where?
Look in the Discord chat, top right, the little speech bubble.
City.
Oh my God.
My straight up infringement.
They didn't even just take they took the whole bomb portion.
They took the whole thing.
You know, that's just like so lazy.
I feel like that guy was just trying to get a phone call from you, to be honest. Yeah.
Because because in the beginning I was like, oh, you know, what's he talking about? And then just the very casually at the end, hey, what's your favorite toppings on ice cream? Yeah. All right, just killed me. I was like, is that the question? Holy crap, this looks the exact same. Wow.
Yeah. This is wild. It certainly is it. Do we care? Probably not.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah, go for it.
You could do them and make the value of that truck.
Yeah, we're about to own a food truck, you guys.
That'd be cool.
Hey, breakfast only, though.
Teddy Dan's giant bomb food truck sounds incredible.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Tell you what. If they park that outside of our live show in L.A. for Summer Games Fest and they serve free food to anyone that bought a ticket, then we're good.
Have you ever done it? There better not be breakfast food, right?
Yeah, right. No, I'll call
Have you ever done a live show where you actually cooked? Have you done that yet?
Yeah, you streamed something, didn't you?
I've streamed cooking. Yeah. We've never done it on stage, have we, Backlar?
No,
not on stage. That's but a, I've streamed it a few times when I've had like meal prep sponsorships and stuff. I've been like, all right, let's see how this goes. And it kind of went okay. So, but I really have to follow. Like, my wife is always just out of frame, making sure I don't like blow up the house.
She's just there, like pacing with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, it can't be a good time for her.
Just getting ready. She
never lets you handle gas or the barbecue either.
I'll forget it.
No, I literally, the first house I got in Connecticut, they had a really nice grill that came with the house. I was like, sweet, I got this nice porch. I'm going to learn how to grill, going to have people over. And I looked at the propane tank, and like my only frame of reference for propane tanks is like video games. You shoot them, they blow up. And so like I was afraid to touch it. And so I just gave it away. I went on Facebook Marketplace. I was like, free, come take it. I moved to this house and it's got like this really nice direct line through the deck. So it's like the gas line that goes up into the deck, makes it really easy. And like that was like a selling point when we were looking at the house. Like, oh man, check out this gas line. I want that removed immediately.
Yeah. Don't remove that. That's good.
I will never use it. I just stubbed my toe on it. It will never be used once. No chance in hell.
Go ahead.
What are you going to do? Like, call someone and be like, get rid of this convenient, amazing luxury.
I'm legit getting the deck replaced.
See, no one's going to do that.
Because of that, because it was like a red alert on the inspection report, but also good riddance to that gas line.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. What were you going to say, Nino?
I was going to say, I thought when your story about your previous house, it was going to just lead to you blew up your own house.
No, because I'm a responsible man, and I know my own weaknesses. I know where my gaps in understanding are, and I don't play with fire, literally.
I respect that.
Thank you.
It is a little silly, though, that, like, you know, you see a propane tank, and you're just sort of like... Well, I can't be trusted around something
unless it's surrounded by bad guys that are shooting at me. I have no use for that.
You drive a car ever? That's flammable.
I don't want to know what's under the hood.
It ain't gumdrops, okay?
Look, I know where the wiper fluid thing is. I just don't look at the rest.
That doesn't run on sunshine, okay? Let me tell you. Oh boy! Wow, we learn a lot on this show, don't we, folks?
Christ.
Well, Dan sure as shit does. Actually, no.
No, I
take that back. It goes definitively in one ear and out the other, or out some other fucking tube in his face. Apparently,
it's clogged in there somewhere.
It's all just rattling around in here. That's the pressure in my face. I feel is just all my knowledge bouncing around.
That's what it is. He's gonna get it cleared out, and all of a sudden be like, "I remember high school."
E equals MC squared. Yeah.
When Homer got that pencil up his nose and got smacked. Exactly.
Stub from Raw in 2001. All right, gosh. Cole, we're gonna go turn it back to you.
Okay.
This might be your last voicemail of the show. Just warning. Just a heads up.
Choose wisely. Okay. Well, again, lots of very good options, but I'm gonna go with VHS.
Nice.
That's my choice.
Did we stop calling them VCRs and people started calling them VHS players?
Yeah.
Did we?
I've seen this. It's always younger generations will be like, oh yeah, it's, you know, like one of those TVs that had one of the old like VHS players on it. And every time I hear that, I'm like, nope, that is not what that is.
I remember that just being interchangeable.
VHS? Wait, you said that?
I remember calling VCRs and VHS. I remember them being, it's just like the conflation of memory. I don't know. What do you think?
In my brain, I could be completely wrong. But we always called the tapes VHS and then VCRs were VCRs. I had no idea that it was even a thing where people said VHS player.
I had not heard that until like two years ago.
I didn't until right now. It's the first time.
That's why. I think I'm more on board with that. I think that's right. VCR and VHS. VHS were the tape. Yeah. VCR is the player.
Yeah. That's what it was for me as well.
Yeah.
Right. That is accurate. Right. Yeah.
But it is kind of wild to think, like, I don't know, like grand scheme of everything that, like, again, there are so many people that will never understand what a VHS or a VCR is and how different it was to watch media.
Totally.
Even back in the 90s, you know, so it is so wild to think about that.
My 9-year-old's never seen one. He'll never see one.
Yeah,
it's never comprehend what it means.
Yeah, he'll be like, "What? You fucking know it's, fossil? Like
it's the size of an Xbox?
You have to fast forward. You can't."
I know this is the most like low hanging YouTube bait stuff ever, but like when they do those videos of like, we showed these kids a NES, and like it's like kids that are holding an NES, and they're like, what is this, a toaster? And like, of course, logically, I know that, like, why would they know that? Why would they know? It's like me, like, I don't, yeah, yes. Totally understandably, yeah. But at the same time, it's just wild that this thing, this that I have such a strong connection to, this device, this look, is just like to someone else, like, what the fuck is this? You know, like that's crazy, but that's just getting older, I guess.
Which does. I think more and more the older that I get, which I know this doesn't really have anything to do with VHS, but it kind of does, is like where media is going, like how crazy stuff is going to get.
I don't even know where we're going to go. Yeah.
I don't either, especially considering, you know, video games are like 65 years old, which is insane to think about. It's not even 100 years old, like where video games are going to go, where media and movies and all that.
Sure.
I don't know. We're in for a wild ride. It's a wild time right now. It's exciting, but it's wild.
Who's the youngest man here? Is that you, Jan? Are you the youngest man here?
Oh, must be.
Yeah.
By a lot, right?
32?
Okay, not even by a lot. Okay. Okay. You're the youngest man. So you lived through VHS. None of what I was going to mention has any goal or point at this point. Never mind. Ignore what I was going to say.
Jan only remembers Laserdisc. So. Yeah, he only remembers Laserdisc.
You're great for your age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Thought how that would work.
The youngest person, who's the youngest person we work with? That would probably not. I mean, I don't think there's anyone. Yeah, Nikki or Sean, right? I don't think there's anyone who we work with that wouldn't know what VHS is.
No. That's what I was gonna, like, right? Anyone who pays attention to any sort of media in that sense, you'd think they would know.
But but to your point, VHS, Adam, I think you're right. We're like, in the grand scheme of things, VHS was such a small blip.
Really,
right?
Was.
Just all physical media is going to be a blip.
Yeah,
it's kind of so sad, man, for me to like really think about, like, especially the now it's so convenient in any capacity, whether it's with movies, video games, what have you. You can so easily like digitally buy this stuff. But I'm going to be honest, it does scare me a little bit. Like sometimes I get afraid. I'm like, oh man, if my account gets deleted somehow. Yeah. Do I lose access to all these?
Yeah.
We don't know anything anymore. We don't know anything at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love physical media. I love it. Yeah.
I do feel though that, like, you know, VHS is a very specific thing, but I feel like people do use DVD kind of interchangeably with Blu-ray, and like no one's like, oh, hand me that UHD disc or that 4K. Yeah. Like I'll hear people say like, oh, you know, hand me that Blu-ray or, you know, like, but I think people say DVD is just, it's all got that disc form factor, you know?
Sure. They do. It is nothing similar to VHS to DVD. DVD to Blu-ray, you just never caught on as well as VHS to DVD, I think.
Well, talk about an industry that's been changed. Like, I mean, the wrestling industry was so much built on VHS and tape trading and DVDs back in the day. I feel like by the time Blu-ray came around, you know, we had YouTube and stuff and streaming was becoming a thing. And now with everything being streaming, it's like that whole part of the wrestling industry is like occasionally happening, but like you don't see a lot of physical wrestling media.
There's no tape trading anymore. There's no, you don't find little, you know, you don't find gems out there anymore because everyone can see it at any point.
Yes,
you know, that's why the indie market now is so huge. You know, you don't discover an indie. Now everyone discovers everything for you because you can just acquire it digitally at any point.
100%. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. It is true. It's crazy. Man, I just the idea of like not having to like stay up and record some weird show at like 1 a.m. to watch, like, you know, you're just like, oh, I hope this works. You're just like rolling the dice to make sure you forgot to watch the thing you wanted to watch. Like,
dude, can I tell a funny story regarding VHS, which, again, this is probably not weird or strange for a bunch of wrestlers or wrestling fans who are my age, but I remember being so excited because my mom took me to Dollar General to buy like a 10 pack of VHS tapes. And the idea was I wasn't allowed to stay up and watch Raw super late because I had school the next day. So I would tape it and then watch it the next day. And in my brain, I'm like, I'll tape it, I'll watch the episode, and then I'll overwrite that tape, and it'll be fine. I never overwrote a single tape. Kept all of them. So there is just a stack of so many random Raw, SmackDown, WCW, like just so much stuff that I just recorded, and I could never bring myself to delete it. I just loved it so much.
I've got a box over here that's like everything from like 93 on. Like I could pull out the 93 King of the Ring that I taped in my handwriting on it.
Yep.
But the thing I regret is that I wish, like when I was recording all those old Raws and Nitros and everything, I was like, oh, I'm going to do myself a favor. I'm going to stop every time a commercial starts and I'll start recording once it comes back. Now it's like I would kill, like there's great compilations on YouTube, but like I wish I had all the those, you know, like Stacker 2 commercials and
give me the Gashful GTX commercials.
Yeah.
Drive hard, man.
The JVC Kaboom Box. Yeah.
That's funny. You know, the great tragedy, though, especially with, I mean, I know all physical media does have like a shelf life, right? Like,
it does. Yeah.
The VHS can deteriorate, right? I think even DVD is like not forever. Yeah. It's not like Prime, right? There's not forever chemicals in there. So, that eventually is something you do want to back up, like eventually.
My Prime? How do I back this up?
Well, don't worry. Like I said, that'll be in you forever. You don't have to worry.
Up. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
So back up your Prime. Back up your VHS tapes of Nitro and Raw, and we'll let Evil Uno choose the next voicemail.
The one that's been really glaring at me is Apes.
Man, what's up with these fucking Planet of the Apes movies? Are they good? They keep making them. I've never heard anybody ever talk about them.
What?
Sort of, except on like podcasts, but like y'all aren't real people, I think. So does that count? Anyway, love you. Bye.
So, yes, they're good, and yes, people talk about them. No, but they're very successful.
Oh, podcasters are real people, by the way.
Oh, my God. My dad is in the chat. I've never seen him in the Giant Bomb chat in the last year.
He says,
pick me. This is my specialty. It's true. He's not a movie guy at all, but if there's a Planet of the Apes movie, he is going to the theater.
King of the Apes, Paul Reichert.
What is up, Dan's dad?
See the new one? That's out tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, me too.
I am simultaneously aware that these are films that people like, but I do appreciate the spirit of the call because on their face, they appear to be very dumb, right?
Yeah.
Because I get it. And I've saw like, obviously the Tim Burton one people don't like, right? Like that was.
My dad likes that one.
Well, okay. But who did the newish ones? There's like five it's of not them like now, a right?
Well, there was the trilogy. It started with James Franco. He didn't make it. But then there was that trilogy that ended with, it was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. No, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes. So, this new one's the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, they just keep introducing a bad guy each time. It was like Gary Oldman.
Right. Yeah. So like I do relate to the energy of that call where it's like, yeah, it does seem real fucking stupid that like a bunch of apes are like taking over and fighting the human. That seems dumb as hell. I'm with you. But yeah, people like that shit. I think they're pretty good from what I gather. Yeah.
To me, like, in a trailer, if you put a monkey riding a horse, I'm going to see that movie.
Legally, I have to.
This one has an ape holding two machine guns.
Yep.
Why the hell wouldn't I watch this movie? That sounds cool as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, Rise of the Planet of the Apes in the trailer had a picture, like a thing of a gorilla jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and tackling a helicopter. It's like, all right, where do I buy my ticket? Yeah, all right, great.
But it's more than that, right? Like, aren't they better than just being like dumb action movies? Like, they're cerebral. Right, like
they are. Yes.
I mean, the first one had the like famous twist. Do you know that? I don't want to spoil Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes.
I know that.
So I mean, they're not dumb in the way that like they're not B movies. They're not something where it's just like a schlocky horror movie or slasher or something. But like it is about monkeys getting real mad and killing people. I mean, like it's not like a deep cerebral. That's not the word I would use. Cerebral.
Of course, they're just fun
popcorn movies. I would say.
Yeah, but right. Well, but there's more to it. Right? Yeah, there's more to it. Yeah.
Wait, like, so do you think racism is
war? And you know, like, I mean, obviously, racism. It's reflected between humans and monkeys, but like it's the same. They reflect a lot of like current subjects. War.
I agree.
Poverty,
It seems horses, like it's more important. Horses? Like it has a more important message than maybe the Fast and Furious movies, right?
Did you seem that? About the same to me?
Okay, okay, hold on.
Get out of here. No, okay, this is the first time I am not Team Dan.
I was baiting Jen.
They're both just big, loud, fun movies, right?
I can't get behind this.
Anti-Team Dan, dude.
Oh, no.
Seems like they're more important, though, right? Like they. No, I'm kidding.
Has The Rock been in any of these 8 movies yet?
No.
That feels like a missed opportunity.
I feel like Jan was doing a run in here. Jan, what are your thoughts?
Fast and the Furious, it's all about family. What's wrong with family, Bacalar?
Well, that's just not a complicated, that's just like a very good message, of course, but it's not you know.
Through the power of sheer will, Vin Diesel defies the laws of gravity and resists 2 helicopters.
You could say family. The exact same thing about these movies, but take Vin Diesel and just say apes, and it's the exact same premise.
I think the same sequence happens, actually. You're right, Uno.
guys, total side note, and I do not mean to take a hard left, but I've been meaning to talk to people about this for so long since we're talking about movies.
Sure.
Dude, the original Saw.
Sure. It's not bad.
Okay. Dude, no. It's one of the greatest movies ever made, dude.
So I only saw it once in the theater when it came out.
Same. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe, again, I know we're supposed to be talking about Planet of the Apes.
No, it's okay.
No, like, no, we can pivot.
The ending sequence, that last 2 minutes.
Sure.
When the song Hello Zep comes in, and I won't say it just in case. Because
he's a monkey.
It's the...
He's Vin Diesel.
He's not. But, dude, it's so well done. It's unbelievable. Like, the song so fits with the ending. Ah, man, it's so. And to this day, the most I've ever left watching a movie with my jaw, like, still on the floor.
Sure.
I think OG Saul is incredible.
I'm willing to bet that film has aged well. Seriously.
It has for sure. Comparatively right? to like the other 7 or 8 yes. or 9
sure,
saws?
That's
yes. 9 yeah. saws? There's a difference there. But like considering this movie was made on like an indie budget, like they did not have a lot of money. They did what they could to make this really compelling, interesting story.
Sure.
And then it became this like massive monster of a movie series was so cool. But the original one, man, it's still, I just recently rewatched it and seeing the ending of that movie, it gives me chills thinking about it. It's such a good movie.
I will admit, I did not like Saw. It was the first one I did not like. But I will concede that if you want to talk to someone excitedly about Saw, the Deadlock Boys, John Blood, those guys know
yes.
Saw. So I'll give you them if you want to talk excitedly about Saw. Okay.
I bet if you watch it again, you'd probably be like, oh, wow, this wound up like carving out a whole trajectory for and influencing a lot of stuff moving forward in movies and games and a lot of stuff. I think it probably gets a lot of credit for that or is due a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, Planet of the Apes rules. That's
yes.
Okay. There you have
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not to go off topic, but.
Yeah, Paul Reichert all along just knew what he was talking about. You know,
he walks up from the floor and expresses how much he loves Planet of the Apes.
I assumed he lost his Giant Bomb login. I have not seen him in the chat forever. And then Planet of the Apes is said, and like Joe Hendry like shows up, just like, hey, somebody say Planet of the Apes.
Jesus. Pretty sick. Good job, Paul. All right, Dan, you're up.
String Cheese .mp3.
Oh, let's go.
Of course.
Yeah.
What's up, Bombers? I just want to let you guys know that I don't just peel the string cheese and eat it. I just take big fucking bites out of it. That's it. Have a good one.
Now, was this from last week?
Nia,
Adam's face.
Wait, okay. There's my dad in the chat again saying me too. I don't remember if that was on this, but yeah, I used to string the cheese as a kid, and my dad would just be like, just be normal. Just take a bite out of it. You don't have to string. It's like, Dad, it's string cheese. Like, just be normal. Just take a bite out of it. So, Dad, you still do that, apparently, based on the chat. So, Adam, you might be anti Dan's dad now.
Well, listen, I don't know enough about Dan's dad to make a proper assessment.
Let me tell you, I do. Okay,
you know, all right, Dan. So. But let me tell you, the idea of taking string cheese and just taking a big bite out of it—it makes me a little bit sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I want to throw up.
It's something an ape would do, right? Yeah. Like, it's just I'm not gonna side on either, you know, angle to this controversy.
My dad just says, he's in the chat, says saves time.
It's not save time. He's not wrong. He's not wrong, but it's crazy.
Are you late to a meeting, Dad? What's going on?
What meeting you got to be at? What are you talking about, bud?
Oh, he's got an eBay auction for a baseball card ending soon. He's got to bite this cheese instead of string it.
I respect the ambition, dude. I respect
someone in a great rush. I need something. I don't have time for string cheese.
Oh, I gotta go. It's so cheap. It's not a slip. Slim Jim.
I never considered string cheese units of measurement of time, but I guess they are.
I'll be there in 20 string cheeses.
Yeah. Hang on. Oh, that's fucking fantastic.
Incredible.
Oh gosh.
Incredible.
We only have a few minutes.
Hey, everyone listening, you eat string cheese the way that you want to, but exactly. If you aren't peeling it peel by peel, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. If you've got the time.
Try to savor it. That's what life's all about. We got to savor life, you know?
Absolutely.
Savor life is flavor. Like string cheese, you know, take it
one string at a time.
My grandfather lived to be 1,000 string cheeses. God bless
everyone. Eat it the way you want, you know.
And his memory. Yeah.
Million string cheeses around the sun.
Oh boy! All right.
Hashtag string cheese. You
know? Yeah. Okay. Let me do this one more time. We'll do chat one more time, and then we'll get out of here. I guess. Let's do Ever Give Up.
Hey, Dumpers. This is Nate in Orlando. A garage sauna thought. Do you ever just give up in a dream? Like, I had a zombie apocalypse dream the other night where fighting them off, and I realized it was a dream, and I was done with the dream. And I said, the fastest way out, just give in. I just closed my eyes and let them eat me. I was out real quick. You ever just give up? I've done this multiple times. Murderer chasing me. I realize it's a dream. I'm like, just let him catch me.
Okay.
Love you.
Oh.
That's a key thing is that he realized it was a dream. I wasn't sure if he was like, he thought it was like real life. And he's like, well, that's it. All right. If you know it's a dream, then fine. Whatever. You can do whatever. It's less sad if you know it's dreams. I just want to fucking wake up.
Dude, I have never related to someone so much than that message. In a dream specifically, there have been so many times where I'm like, oh man, this is going bad, but I know I'm dreaming. So just end it, dude. Get it over with.
At that point, you can start a lucid dream. You know your dream. Just fly away. Do whatever, you know?
Or I could just run forever and then just be like, nah, I wouldn't wake up from this. I'm just going to let it happen. I relate to you so much, caller.
No, but that is so. We're circling the drain around something, right? Like, first off, it's very funny to just be like, "Oh, I'm so lazy that I like refuse to dream more." Like, you're somehow terminating the dream early, which I think is just a very funny idea on its face. Where you're just like, "Oh, whatever," and you just wake up. Which is like, I don't know. There's something about that that's amazing to me. Oh my god, because. But is that lucid dreaming? Like,
if you know you're dreaming, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, going off of what he was saying, at least this is my experience in this scenario, which may not always be the case for everyone. But there are times where you have a dream that you feel like it's going on for like an hour.
Mm.
And you know you're dreaming. And you're like, how is this dream going to end? And you think about like getting out of this really bad situation. And then you finally are like, dude, I'm dreaming. Why am I doing this to myself?
Sure.
Let's just get out of the dream.
Yeah, you know? You have the false like finish. Yeah. Yes. You wake up like, oh, you're still in the dream. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm so fascinated by all of you because I feel like I've never been an active participant in my dream. I feel like
you're sitting shotgun. Yeah.
I've faced every horrors and I don't know how the hell it's going to go. I could be aware that I'm dreaming, but then I'd feel like I have no choice to go forward with it. Like I can realize, of course, Kane isn't here to murder me, you know. This is a dream, but like how do I stop Kane? I don't know. I just keep going forward. I have no active like part. And so like lucid dreaming to me is, it seems like a myth. Everyone that talks about
it. You can do it.
I know. A lot of people do. I just feel like it's a superpower that I don't know. How do you work on that? How do you acquire
I used to be really into this in college. I read books and stuff about it. There are tricks you can do. So like one thing is you have to do reality checks during the day. So one thing you can do is like something weird happened.
That was just Inception, buddy.
So here's the way I trained myself to do it by like every few hours or whatever during the day. You can set timers or reminders or whatever. Like go up to a light switch and like look at the light that it's supposed to do and you turn it on, you turn it off, you turn it on, you turn it off. And in real life, it follows that real life, you know, because it's connected. It's real. Dream logic doesn't really work that way. So it like won't react. Or sometimes a light bulb will fill with like, you know, black juice or whatever. Another thing is pick up a book and look at it. In real life, the text all looks normal. If you're in a dream, text and watches and phones and stuff all look very garbled and weird and things like that. So if you get yourself doing that enough during your daily life, you will also do it during your dream, and then you will recognize when you do a reality check and something weird happens, that's a dream sign, and you're like, oh shit, I'm dreaming. Now I can do lucid dreaming. So, and the way I do it now is like, because I don't do the reality checks anymore, but if something just seems a little weird or whatever, if you just do this and you breathe in, I'm awake right now, so I can't breathe in. But if I'm in a dream, you get a full breath, you're fine. You're like, oh, okay. I'm just going to go fly off into space or whatever.
Wow.
You know? Do you get to the point that you can even
next level
emotions? Even in a dream where I'm like, oh, this isn't real. Like my bedroom can't be filled with water this way or something. Like I've never been capable of saying, or my next action would be to put my hand in the water and figure out if like I feel it or something. I don't even know how to influence it. Like,
so you don't have autonomy? You don't have like bodily autonomy in the dream?
No, not really. So maybe something's fucked up with my brain too.
To be fair, going off of what Dan is saying, like I've been lucky where like a handful of times I've gotten where I know I'm in a dream, but generally speaking, it's not that I can actually really do anything. It's that I decide to end it.
Yeah,
but
I've
never felt like I was ever in control of a dream. The only control I felt was, I don't like this. I want it to be done. So just end the dream.
Yeah. Right.
But that stuff you're talking about is wild. I know people can do it.
Which does demonstrate some control, I guess, where you're like making the conscious decision to like get yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
This is the kookiest Dan has ever sounded, though. And I do like that. I mean,
it's really, by the way, while I was saying the thing about the light switches on and off, my dad again in the chat, he's very chatty today with the most dad comment I've ever seen. That wastes electricity.
Oh, with the light? Thanks, Dad.
Yes. There's nothing kooky about it. Look, I'm not a new agey mystical healing crystals guy or anything. I don't believe in any of that. I'm a man of science and a man of medicine. But the brain, the human brain, is a very complicated thing, and you can do a bunch. I've been meditating regularly for 20 years. Yeah, absolutely. Meditation's huge. It's absolutely changed my relationship with anxiety and things. So, like, I like the human brain and like learning that stuff and weird stuff like lucid dreaming and stuff like that. That is, it's not real in the way that stuff isn't happening, but it's real in the way that you can teach yourself to do that and influence your dreams.
I mean, you know what? Next time I come around, I'll put some training on this one. I'll put some training. I'll put it into practice. We'll see. Maybe 2 months from now when we reconvene, I will be able to affect it. It just seems like magic to me. To even have a dream to begin with is rare for me. And then secondary, how do you get to a point that you can influence? It just seems like an insane proposition to do in your life. But
sure.
Yeah, Uno, the way you're describing your dreams, it sounds like you're on like an on-rails like shooter or something where it's like you don't have control over where you're looking, or you're just kind of like along for the ride, you know?
Yeah.
Which that's going off of what Uno said, that's normally how my dreams are. But there have been times based on different circumstances. I don't know why, but there have been times where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of in control of what's happening right now. But generally speaking, I'm with Uno, where I'm like, all right, I'm going along for this ride. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you been capable to make yourself fly in these dreams?
And
really?
You know what's hard? And that's a trick too. Again, I used to read whole books about this topic.
I love it.
A lot of times, even after you become lucid, first of all, you got to train yourself to not just wake up because you get excited. Because like, oh shit, I realize I'm dreaming. Like, because you'll wake up the first like bunch of times you do that. But even once you're lucid, you will try to do something typically like fly. And your brain is just autopilot as like, well, that's not possible. So like since your brain believes that to be true, you'll jump and be like, what the fuck? I know I'm dreaming. Why can't I fly? And you have to do things like be like, no, I'm not going to try to fly. I'm just going to fly because I know it's possible. And you have to just like tell yourself in no uncertain terms that like, I'm going to fly now, not I'm going to try to fly. And that trick kind of works, you know, gets you over that hump.
You're a magician. This is crazy. This is insane. to me, I'm
sure. I'm loving this.
You can do it.
I just want you to like present this at like a hotel conference or something like this.
This isn't
like
just this. This isn't just a me thing.
No, I know. No, listen. Some of the stuff you're describing, while I'm probably a little bit more skeptical about like how well you can train yourself to it. I certainly have experienced stuff like that in dreams. I mean, I imagine it's similar to the way John Cusack taught himself to stay inside of Malkovich, right? It's the same kind of thing where like he's just like, I'm not leaving John Malkovich's head. I'm staying in there and I'm figuring out how to control him. Right. Well,
and for the record, even when I was like just regularly doing this and training or whatever you want to call it back then, it was maybe a few times a month max, but you can do really cool stuff with it where it's like, you know, I struggle with anxiety and like public speaking was such a thing. So like, if you get good at it, you can see a door in a dream if you're lucid and be like, all right, I'm going to open that door and I'm going to walk out in front of Radio City Music Hall. And then you do it and you know you're dreaming. And so you kind of get yourself those reps. You're out there, you're talking to people, you're not feeling any anxiety and, you know, maybe carry that over into your daily life.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, love my it. God. Yeah.
Man, invite me to your TED Talk. I'm there.
For you, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want you this. Use that sound bit, too. Feel free.
Yeah, Jared, just give me a zip file of all these. Yeah, that'd be great.
I just want to see you, like, presenting, like, something on a dark stage, this whole thing. I don't know. Sure. I need to see that. All right, we're going to have our final voicemail of the show, folks. This has been an absolute pleasure and delight. Chat's turn. Chat chose Trip and Fall Into It.
Hey, Dumpers. So I have a degree called Arts Management, and I couldn't find a job, so I now work for a defense contractor.
Jeez.
Working on submarines. Just wondering, how did you guys end up where you are? Did you trip and fall into it, or is it a plan? Thanks.
Bye. That's quite the pivot right there.
Yeah. I want to know more about this submarine business.
Yeah. I want to know more about
him. Whoa. How'd you get there? I feel like I willed this into existence in a lot of ways, where I think a lot of people never thought I would make it to this point in all of my avenues, and I just single-mindedly told myself, yeah, you will just keep moving forward. And now I'm there, and it's very odd because I'm sure I made a lot of steps and made a lot of sacrifices to get to, you know, do video game content, to do pro wrestling. Yet now that I'm in it, it feels like a happenstance that it happened. But I'm well aware that like every step of the way, my choices were to eventually get here. So I never really, I think I trip and fell into a lot of great opportunities, but I don't think I trip and fell into the person I am today. If that could be, you know, if that's something you can relate to at the very least.
Uno, I agree so much with what you said, because it's a weird, I don't know, it's such a strange discussion to have when it comes to like having an idea of where you want to be and where you want to go. And hoping that it happens and putting all the work in. But generally speaking, I swear, like if you have your mind made up, no matter what anyone says, that you're going to get to where you want to get in some capacity, unless you are just the most horrible person that no one wants to be around, you will get there. I really mean that. Like, even if, I don't know, like I so clearly had my mind made up that I wanted to be a wrestler. My parents weren't wrestlers. I 1000% did not come from any money whatsoever. So it was one of those things where I like had my mind made up. I'm going to drive 16 hours to Chicago for the potential to wrestle in a 2-minute, you know, pre-show match against a guy on the card, and then leave and set up the ring and tear it down and then go back and just hope for the best. Obviously, again, like we've talked about before, having support makes it a lot easier for sure. But I don't know. I just, my mind was made up. But going off of what Uno said, it does feel like a, wow, you know, how did we get here? But we know how we got here. So just that full-blown, almost borderline obsessive commitment. That's the thing that I think I know a lot of people maybe don't want to talk about, but you got to be borderline obsessive with what you want to do. And if you're a half decent person on top of it, you can make it happen. I think.
Yeah, it sounds like you got to not be scared to be that obsessed, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Like
yeah.
That's.
Like again, like my me and my father, who have gotten really close the past few years, he discussed with me how a big reason early on in my, I don't think I've ever talked about this, but a big reason early on when I was in middle school and high school, he was so not supportive of me being a wrestler. And it was because he was horrified that if I didn't make it, that I was going to have a mental breakdown. Like, he's like, you were so obsessed with wanting to be a pro wrestler that it terrified me as your father that like, what if Austin doesn't make it happen? And now as a 34-year-old man, I understand that. It was more so out of love, but now he looks back on it as well as like, no, now it makes so much sense. Like, to me, you just showed that if you are 100% committed to something, you can make it happen. And I really stand by that to this day. No matter what it is that you want to do, if you decide there is no other option, you in some way, shape, or form, even if you don't imagine exactly how it's going to end up, you'll make it happen. It's always been the case. It's always been the case.
I think that's true about Dan for sure. I think I mean that half joking and half real as well.
I'll tell the abridged version, because I know people in the chat have probably heard the long version. But I was the same way, not wanting to be a wrestler, Adam, but I got a Game Informer magazine when I was 9 years old. I told myself, holy shit, you can write video game reviews for a living as an adult. I said, I'm going to work specifically for Game Informer. So at 16, the day I was able to work at a GameStop or Spunkoland at the time, I went in, I said, hire me. I know a shitload about video games. Got hired. Worked there when I was 18. I noticed the VHS tapes they would send in to play like upcoming game trailers, they never advertised Game Informer on those. And I was like, why aren't they doing this? Like, GameStop owns Game Informer. So I was a video production guy. I'd made a bunch of short films and, you know, video production stuff. I called GameStop corporate. I said, you don't know who I am. I'm an 18-year-old kid who works at your store in Olathe, Kansas. And I said, I do video production. I would direct a commercial for you guys to put on the VHS that airs in store for free if you'll just send me to Minneapolis where Game Informer is based. Because I wanted to come up here. I wanted to meet the guys. I wanted to see what it was like to be on the ground and write video games reviews for a living. So I'm 18 years old here in Minneapolis, meeting everyone, go back home, shot the commercial, you know, edited it, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know if that saw the light of day, but I knew these guys now. And then I started paying my own way out to E3 every year. Once I started writing game reviews for the paper, being like, hey, I'm writing game reviews for the paper now. Hire me. The next year I'd be like, hey, I've done 200 reviews now. Hire me. Next year. I did this for years and years and years until I'd done like 600 video game reviews for free for a paper. And finally they hired me in 2009. So that was the thing. From age 9, I was like, I'm going to fucking write for Game Informer. Yeah. And there was not a safety net. There was not another option.
No,
I was going
no
to
backup
fucking right
plan.
There. Nope.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, yep. That obsessive like, drive and like, I'm going to make this happen. Adam, I'm 100% with you on that.
That's the one thing I can't take away from Dan Riker, folks. He is absolutely that freak he says he is.
Chad just linked to the commercial I made in the chat. So if you want to see my shitty commercial I made in 2002, you can see it.
No, I'm sure it's awesome. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I'm going to check it out.
It's not that good. It's
all right.
Well, I just need a camera.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, what has been amazing is this episode. What an amazing time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here. Adam Cole, Evil Uno, two of my favorite people in wrestling. Thank you so very much. What are you laughing at, Dan?
Yeah. Oh, two of your favorite people in wrestling. Who are your others?
You.
Good save. Nice.
And Dark Echo.
Dark Echo, of course.
Be sure to check out.
Stop it, Adam.
Yeah, there it is. We're getting gifts made. We're getting all kinds of content.
Audio listeners, you're lucky. You're lucky, audio listeners.
They're gonna watch. They're gonna watch the VOD on that. They are. Check out All Elite Arcade wherever you handle your podcast affairs. Please do that. Adam and Uno, please come back. You're obviously welcome anytime. It's been such a delight having you here. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. I mean, always a blast when I get to come around here, and especially when I get to do it with the Chugs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
hell
yeah. Seriously. Yeah, yeah. Me and Uno together, like, again, for the longest time, have talked about wanting to start our own video games podcast. That's been a blast. I love him dearly as a person, whether we're on the podcast or off the podcast. So, but seriously, this is maybe the most fun I've had on a podcast. Other, me and Uno have a blast as well, obviously, but this has been such a wonderful experience. So thank you guys for having us. Seriously.
Absolutely. You guys are sweethearts. This is great. Again, welcome back anytime you want. 707 Exit Flu. That is our phone number. Leave a voicemail for next week and don't make it about food. Just please don't do that. We've had our food quota. We filled it. We'll be back with a brand new episode next week. Until then, thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.